Tuesday, the 12th of January, Kof Vov Teve, Svabi Shalom Siegel, the Nile Monster.
In this week's Sedra, Parshat Vayera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe to go to Paro and tell him, let my people go, that we're on the way out. Moshe turned around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he made one of the famous Kol Vachomer, one of the 10 Kol Vachomer, Rashi says in the Torah. He says, Hein l'shomu eilai b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael l'shomu eilai, b'nei Yisrael did not listen to me. So if that's the case, then Kol Vachomer ve'ech yishmaini Paro, how do you expect that Paro will listen to me? Kol Vachomer, Paro's not going to listen to me. And he finishes off, V'ani aral tzvosoim. And furthermore, I've got a speech impediment. So there's two questions which spring to mind here. The first is a well-known question, that surely the Kol Vachomer is mufrach me'ekorah. The Kol Vachomer is not a Kol Vachomer. Why does Klal Yisrael not listen to Moshe? It says in the bottom, because of the back-breaking labor, was Paro subjugated to such suffering? Paro was leading a tranquil, peaceful, enjoyable life in his palace, so why wouldn't he listen to Moshe? What's the Kol Vachomer? The second question is, what's this V'ani aral tzvosoim? What's that got to do with it? And let's say Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest speaker of all time. Would that help you? You've still got a Kol Vachomer. Klal Yisrael, despite that, did not listen to Moshe. What's it got to do with the level of his speaking quality, of his speaking talent? We continue on a few psukim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and he says, you know what? Don't worry. Aaron Yenaviyacha, Aaron will, he will be the intermediary. He'll be your Targum, and he'll speak for you. He says, tell Aaron to go along and take the matter and throw it down and yehi l'tanin. It will change into a tanin. Now the Kli Yoka notes here that in last week's Sedra, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to throw down the stick, it changed into a nochosh, into a snake. Whereas when Aaron threw it down, it changed into a tanin, which people think is a snake, but it's not necessarily a snake. It could be a fish, the Kli Yoka says, but another explanation is that it is a snake, but it's a sea snake. It's a snake which emerges from the sea. The nochos is that which comes off the ground, and the tanin is that which comes from the sea. So ask the Kli Yoka, why the change? He asked furthermore, why was it in Parashat Shemot it was done with the matter of Moshe, in this week's Sedra it was done with the matter of Aaron? You may well add, why in last week's Sedra was it Moshe was told to do the Mofis, whereas in this week's Sedra it was Aaron who was told to do it? What's going on in there? So in order to answer all these questions, we need to be mucked in, I think, three Akdamas, and then we'll come back to answer these questions. The first is something we spoke about a year ago, and the subject snakes and ladders, and I'll just recap very, very briefly. In last week's Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu went out to see how his brethren were faring, and he saw two people, Dothan and Aviram, arguing, and it says, he said to the evil one, why are you about to hit your friends? And he turned around and he answered back, he said, are you planning to kill me as you killed the mystery? Do you think we don't know? We're going to go tell Paro. What does it say? Moshe got all afraid because he says, now the matter's become known. The poshut pshat being, what I thought was a secret, what I thought was a well-kept secret, no, it's become known. But Rashi says it's a deep pshat here. The Moshe was saying, I never understood, what did Klal Yisrael do? What did they do which was so terrible, which ended them up in Mitzrayim, to this Avodas Perech? And now I see, now that I can see the Lashon Hara prevalent in this nation, I can see Ru'uyim Heim Ladova. They are fitting for this. So again, a couple of questions came to mind here. Number one is, what's Moshe saying? Because he sees two Rishoyim who are planning to speak Lashon Hara. Because of that, that's the reason why the whole of Klal Yisrael are in the tribe. What's one got to, isn't that a bit far-fetched, a bit harsh? Number two is, bother me, what's the Lashon Ru'uyim Ladova? What does it mean they are fitting for this job, for this punishment? As I think the answer, we said like this, goes like this, that in Parashas Bereishis, we know was the Adam HaRishon committed the first sin of mankind, which was rooted in the Lashon Hara of the Nochash HaKadmon. And as a result of that, all sorts of tumor came into the world. That gave rise to Ammonic, Esau, their theories, their deistic beliefs, evolution, and all the like. That came as a result of the Chet of the Nochash HaKadmon. That eventually led up to the stage, the battle between the Yaakov and the Sar of Esau on that famous night, the showdown between Yaakov and the Sar of Esau. And it came towards the morning, and Taki Yaakov was victorious. And at that stage, he assumed the title Yisrael, which the Rashba says in Kedush HaGodis, means an idea that he's above celestial beings, he's got a direct line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no impediments, no barriers, no more Esau, no more Ammonic, That's what the name Yisrael means. That was a forerunner of what we're going through now, what they went through in Mitzrayim, what history ever since the first sin of mankind has brought out. And that is that we are fighting the Cheshech of Godus. We are fighting the sheer darkness of exile, which, as we said, is as a result of the Nochashak Adnoini. How are we going to overcome it? The answer is in the same way that Yaakov overcame it. How? With the code of Yaakov. Through the code of Torah. That's the only way. So Moshe Rabbeinu, I never understood. What did Klal Yisrael do? Why were they the ones who had to go down to Mitzrayim? What did they do which was so terrible? But now I see that Taka they are Ru'im Ladov. When he saw the Lashon Hara between, which Dothan and Aviram are planning to speak, he saw this as a Siman Ladov. He saw this as a sign from heaven, a sign men Hashemayim, that this is the reason, Moshe, why they're in Mitzrayim. It's because of the sin of the Nochashakad, or the Lashon Hara of the Nochashakad Moshe. They're here to be misaking the Chet. So Moshe Rabbeinu, if that's the case, Taka, they are Ru'im Ladov. They are the ones who are fitting to be misaking it, because they are the ones who possess the antidote. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Borosi Yitzhahara, Borosi Torah Tavlin. The antidote, the remedy to Lashon Hara is going to be Torah. And only they have the code of Yaakov. Therefore, they are the ones who are Ru'im to be misaking this debt. That is why Aaron then came along and he took Moshe even did it in Parashat Shemos, he took the stick and he changed it into a serpent. The idea being that the reason why you're in Mitzrayim is because of the chet of the Nochashak Adnoini. As the Shlach HaKadosh says, you're in Mitzrayim, under the whip of Paro. Paro being the same letters as the word He'ofar. He is, if you want, the reincarnation, he is the embodiment of that Nochash which slithers through the ground. And what happened? Then the snake turned back, when all the sorcerers did the same, it turned back into a mater, and only then, Vayivra Mateh Aharonis Matoson. The idea being, the Shlach HaKadosh already says, the mater came from the Itzachayim, the symbol of Torah, Itzachayim Hiram Achzikim Bo. And the message was that as long as you hold on to this myth of the Nochashak Admeni, you're not going out. You won't be able to overcome the nations of the world. But once you assume, once you ready yourselves to come to Matan Torah, to take hold of the Mata, you get rid of the Lashon Hara, the strife, the Machlokes, then you can overcome the nations of the world. And Kachavu, that's what happened. Klal Yisrael came to Matan Torah, Vayicham Shom Yisrael Neged Hahor, as Rashi says, Ki'ish Echot B'lei Bechot, they encamped there as one, they reached this level of Aptus, we may well add, it says, Neged Hohor, Chazal tell us who are the Horim. Horim always the connotation of the Obis. But it doesn't say Horim, it says Hohor, with the Hey Ayudia. Who is the mountain? Who is the Bechir Sheva Obis? Who is the choicest of the Obis? That's Yaakov. They encamped there with the middle of Yaakov, the middle of Aptus, which we know Yaakov is famous for, the 12 stones uniting as one around his head, so on and so forth. This was the middle of Yaakov. At that point, says Chazal, the Gemara in Shabbos, Poskos Zuamo. The filth, the vermin which is injected into Chava at the time of the first Chet, was now expelled from the body. Klal Yisrael had now reattained that status, yet they fell, but they had reattained the status of Kodem HaChet. At that point, now we can understand why it was Aaron who had to perform the Mokis Hadis there. Because Aaron is the man who is Oiv Shalom Veredev Shalom. As the Potok says in the Sadashim Chomeirah, etc., and it says, Baki Shalom Verod Feyu. He was the one to convey this message that you have to pursue peace, pursue this Achdus, and then you'll be able to come out of Mitzrayim, you'll be able to assume the title of Israel. But it still begs the question, so why the first time Moshe? And what's the Tanin? Still, what's the Tanin more than a Nochash? So let's go to the second Abdom. And that is, next week's Sedra, By the plague of Arbe, that of locusts, there's an amazing Ramban, an amazing Rabbeinu Bechai as well over there, where they bring down an absolutely eye-opening Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that we see, when we compare and contrast the Makkah of Arbe with that of Tzfariya in this week's Sedra, we see the Koyach of the Tefillah of Moshe. How? It says over there that Paro went to Moshe and he said, get rid of these Arbe. Moshe turned around and he said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to daven to Hashem. You'll see, Lo Nishar Arbe Echot B'chol Gevul Mitzrayim. Not a single locust will remain in all the borders of Mitzrayim. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, from that day until Ad Hayom Hazeh, not a single locust had ever plagued Mitzrayim. Had never, ever eaten their crop. Up to the borders, yes, but beyond the borders, not. An amazing thing, he says. Let's compare and contrast that with Tzfardeah. Paro came along to Moshe and said, they're driving me mad, all this crazy, get rid of them. What did Moshe say? He said, Taka, I'll do that, but Rak Bayeretish Arno. They won't go completely. They will remain in the River Nile. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, History has proven once again the authenticity of this statement. Take a look, and you'll, in fact, don't go too close, but he said there's a certain species of Tzipardea which emerges from the water. He describes it for us. It emerges from the water once in a while and can consume 2 to 3 human beings in one go. The only way to kill it is by shooting it in the belly, and even once it's dead, it secretes some sort of, exudes some sort of poisonous substance which, if touched, can be fatal. Sounds like some sort of crocodile rather than a frog. But al-Kopanim, this is, says the Rabbeinu Bechai, he ends off with the words, when reading such things, you can only utter the Sichu B'chol Nefleis of his wanderers. But let me ask you a question. We see the Karach HaTzvil of Moshe 100%, but what was Moshe Rabbeinu trying to tell Paro? Why did Moshe have to say to Paro, by Arba Elo Nisha Arba Echot, but by Tzvadeya Rabbi Yotashan, what did Moshe Rabbeinu want to tell Paro? Just show him how strong my Tzvil is? What was he trying to tell him? And I think the answer is like this. It says in various forum, it's brought down that the 10 plagues correspond to the 10 ma'amorim, the 10 utterances with which the world was created. Reb Gedalia Shar and Har Gedalia, next week's Sedra, he explains the Kavanah in this. He says, the Mishnah in Ovid says that the world was created as we know with 10 ma'amorim. And the Mishnah says, why? Surely it could have been created with just one utterance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Answer the Mishnah, rather to give good reward to the tzaddikim who do the rotten of Hashem, etc., etc. Says Rav Gedalia Shah, the pshat is like this. Because if the world would have been created with just one maimah, then everything would have been so crystal clear that there was a Bari Olof, there was a Mashkiach al HaKol, there was somebody who ran the show, there would have been no Bechira. And therefore there would have been Namal de Kisufa, we wouldn't have been able to earn our rewards, and therefore there wouldn't have been this Sochar Tov. However, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it in B'tzem Ma'amorim, the idea being that every Maimar was a veil, a mask behind which HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed himself, now there was an Olam from the Lashon Hara, who was concealed, Hashem is concealed, and now there's Bechira. There's room for the ridiculous ideas such as evolution, now there's room for it. They can suggest, they can posit such ideas, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concealed, and now there's Bechira. Says Rav Gedalia Shar, the 10 makas were aimed at uncovering the hidden kavana in each maimar, working backwards. Dam being the corresponding to the 10th maimar, Tzvardeah corresponding to the 9th maimar, all the way back, makas b'chayit to Kenegah, the first one being Bereshis Bara Elokim. So he says, let's work it out. He just speaks about the last three, Arba, Chishech, and makas b'chayit. Arba is the 8th makah, which would correspond with the 3rd maimar. What's the 3rd maimar? V'hi maltil be maim lomoyim. It's the idea of Havdalah. So Rav Gedalia Shar, Al-Pimach Shobah, you can explain this, because the idea of Arba is a lotion of ribui, of increase. He says when you're mavdil, if you take a piece of paper and you split it into two, you now have two pieces of paper. There's an increase. Whenever you divide, you increase. Furthermore, the Gemara says, when speaking about the bracha of Atochenein, why Atochen Anton is put in that bracha, it says, because in Ein Deah, Havdalah Minayim, without Deah, without this knowledge, without this intellect, you will not be able to perceive, to be able to distinguish between two things. If you take a look by Arba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this Makkah will bring about Deah of Hashem. Through this Makkah there will be Deah. He says that's the link between the two. Now, Pimach Shovah, it's a beautiful idea, but what lesson can we, perhaps let's probe a bit deeper and cover perhaps a bit more over here. Before doing that, let's just work out, what does Tzvardeah correspond to? Tzvardeah being the second makkah, so it would correspond to the 9th maimah. Now, how you cheshbon out the maimorim is subject to machlokes, but if you count it up, just posh it, count it up, we'll follow the opinion which literally just counts it from Bereshis, and then every time it says Vayomer, you'll find it corresponds to Vayomer Elokim Na'aseh Adam, the creation of man. Now, I'm well aware that there's people who believe that we come from monkeys, but I'm not sure what's the connection between the human being and the frogs. What's a frog? Frog and monkeys, there seems to be very little resemblance between the two. What's the connection? And I think the answer to all of this is with a medrash which Rashi already brings in short, and that's a medrash Tanchuma which says like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he brought the 10 makas, it wasn't just by chance, haphazard, there was a seder advarim. As an army attacks an enemy, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu attacked the Mitzrayim. The first thing you do is you cut off the water supply. That's dumb. Then, Tzvardeah, you send in, you confound them with lots of noise to scare them, to try and just get them to surrender from the sheer worry of what's coming. And then it goes on and it delineates all the markers, And he says, and if they still don't surrender, then you send in the Arbe. The Arbe is the Ukhlus and Harbi, the mass armies, the mass troops, who go in yielding swords, guns, ready to do battle. So let's think about this now. Arbe is the Ukhlus and Harbi. To me that sounds very much like the Yodayim of Esau. Esau is the Ukhlus and Harbi, they come in numbers. Rashi says, whereas with Klal Yisrael it's written Shivim Nefesh, despite the fact that we were 70 going down to Mitzrayim, we were still Nefesh. We, by our very nature, are one united people. Whereas with Esau, when it's talking about his mishpach, it says, Sheish Nafshos Beisav. There were only six of them, yet it's still Nafshos. There was no unity here. They are the Uchbus and Harbi. That's the Loshon of Ribui. That's the first point to ponder. The second thing is, yes, Taka Esau, Amalek and all their foes, they are the ones who create the Habdolah B'mayim Lomoyim. What's the Habdolah B'mayim Lomoyim? It's clear from the Medrash that the waters came along, the lower waters came along, Ta'akodesh Baruch, and they complained, why are we being distant from you? The Habdolah is a connotation, is an allusion to the Habdolah between the earthly and the spiritual. The distancing, the rift between this world and Ha'kodesh Baruch Hu, that is created by Amalek, Esau, and their theories. That's what creates it. And finally, yes, you've got this deal. Ha'kodesh Baruch Hu said of this, that this plague is going to bring about the deal. So Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro, there will come a day when Umar Ha'aretz deal. The whole world will realize that your mosques are nothing more than a facade, an illusion, and on that day, lo nishar arba echot b'chol kavul Mitzrayim. Not a single one of Esau, Ammonic, and their alikes will remain. Every last one will be rooted out and destroyed. The other mishim bar Esau, the mechias Ammonic will come about, lo nishar arba echot b'chol kavul Mitzrayim. That is in stark contrast to Tzfardeah. Tzfardeah, the Medrash says, is the power of the curl. Rabbi Yezi Bar Hanina says that the croaking caused more destruction, more havoc, than the jumping around and jumping into people's stomachs and whatever they did. That's what drove Paro mad. It's the power of the curl. That is the Odom. Odom cannot be pluralized, because the true Odom is a people who are united. United as one, and that's Yaakov. The Tzfardeah emerged from the River Nile as one. Then the Mitzrayim started to pound it, to hit it, and every time they hit it, Nechilin and Harbe, it divided. That is Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk says, V'cha'asheh ye'anu oisoi, k'in yirbeh v'chein yifritz. The more they pounded it in the singular, that's Klal Yisrael, the single Tzfardeah, the more k'in yirbeh v'chein yifritz. The Ramchal says, he's got a Sefer HaTorah where it says v'chein yifritz, he says that's a lotion of pirtza. Every time they tried to pound us, to antagonize us, it created pirtzas in that wall dividing between us and the final Gula. It brought the light of Gula that bit closer. You may well add to it, the posh pshat has been every time they hit us, they tried to kill us, we just continued to, in numbers. After they came, the Chazal tell us that a woman would give birth to 60 children in one go. Perhaps an allusion to the 60 Masechtas. If we have time, the Gon brings this idea down. It's a Medrash that 60, there's 60 Masechtas in Shas. If you count it, you've got to combine one or two together. But the idea is that 60, the Medrash says there's 60 Masechtas in Shas Mishnayis. The Chashay Yanu is said, the more they pounded us, the more the light of Torah grew. That was, if you want, the Brisker Rav said that his best shiurim were the shiurim he gave in the years when he was running, he was fleeing from the Nazis in Avshamon. And various Gedolim expressed the same idea. Their best year and the best Torah they had was in the years when they were under duress, they were fleeing from the enemy. This is the Chasheya, Ya'anu Aser Kein Yerbeh V'Chein Yifritz. So Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro, know one thing, that rak by your Otish Arma. No matter what you do to the Jewish people, you'll be able to hit them, you'll be able to antagonize them, but you will never be able to destroy the Kod of Torah. The Ya'ar, the waters, a Mayim El Torah, in the waters of Torah, their voice will always is eternal. You will never, ever be able to get rid of it. Lo Nisha Arbe'echad, there will come a day when no Esau, no Amalekah will remain. But Rakhbay Yotisharan, the Tzfardeah, the Code of Yaakov, will remain. Just the Eretz, what about the poison which it exudes? That means to say that even when the Goyim do antagonize us, they kill us, they murder us, just realize there's a poison there. That there will be a vengeance one day. They will be punished for what they do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I will take vengeance one day. That's the second Akdomah. As for the third, very brief Akdomah, that's the words of Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam, the son of the Rambam. He explains, how does Nevuah work? He says, Nevuah has to go from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by way of a Malach. The problem is that we mere mortals can't understand the Malach, we don't understand the language of a Malach. So what do? We have a Navi. A Navi who can interpret the words of a Malach and put it into simple language for us. So it says Rabbeinu Avraham and Arambam that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the Malach Elokim. He was the Malach. He turned to Hashem and he says, so how's Paro going to understand me? They said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry. Aaron Yehani Be'echo. He will be your Novi. He will interpret it. Now we're going to take the idea of the Rabbeinu Avraham and Arambam. We're going to extend it slightly. And I think with these three Akdomas, we can now answer up our first questions. What was the Kal V'Chomer? The Kal V'Chomer was as follows. You try and explain to somebody who's been blind from birth, explain to them what light is. Try and describe to them what is the color blue, what is the color orange, the color red. You can't, because they've lived in a black world their whole life. They can't appreciate such things. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not just a back-breaking neighbor, it's Mikotze Ruach. Klal Yisrael lived in a world of darkness, the darkness of Golus, the oppression of Golus, the tumor of Golus, spiritually and physically. And therefore they possibly cannot appreciate the words when I talk about the Ur of Gula, the light of Gula. Yes, to conceptualize the idea Moshe Rabbeinu can do. He had to be the first one to perform the Mofis in front of Klal Yisrael, to conceptualize the idea, to be that Malach Elokim, to bring it into the world. But he said, I've got to Aral Sefosoyim. To put it into words is a blockage. I possibly can't do it. So Moshe Rabbeinu, if that's the case with Klal Yisrael, of people who are living through the darkness, then Kal V'Chomer Paro himself, who is the embodiment of this darkness, he is the darkness itself, as the Shlach Kodesh says, he is the Nachash, he is the Ha'ofar. The word Paro can be respelled to the word Ha'ofar. He is the darkness itself, he is the Yetzirah, he is that Tumah. How's he possible? He can't understand such words of Geula, the Ur of Geula, the Giri, the revelation of Hashem. To him, it's foreign language. What did HaKodesh Baruch Hu answer him? Don't worry, Aaron Yenaviyach. How's Aaron going to help? I believe the answer is because Aaron had a tremendous kayach. What's the kayach of Aaron? You can take two people, Reuven and Shimon, who were involved in a very, very severe, very heated argument, and he would go up to Reuven and he would say to him, Reuven, you know you're 100% right. He'd go up to Shimon privately and say, you're 100% right. And there's still coexist. Two completely diametrically opposed contradictions can still coexist. This was the kayach of Aaron. It's a paradox, but he was able to do this. Two kids are rolling around in the dirt. The mother comes out and says, can you clean yourselves up? So one goes down and says, I can't clean myself off, my hands are all dirty. So the other one says, what am I going to do? My hands are just as dirty as yours. We're just going to be rubbing off dirt on dirt. It's the same with us. When we sin, we're spiritually dirty. So who are we going to go to? To another person of flesh and blood? So what do we have to do? We have to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, but there's a problem. It says in the Pasuk, Lo Yigur Chara. We can't go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because evil can't dwell with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do? We go along to the Kohen. And the Kohen can perform the impossible. He takes a korban, and he's Makariv, us, Korban Eloshim and Makariv, and he brings us and unites us with Hashem. And then, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, Hashem can cleanse us. The word Kohen itself symbolizes this idea. The Maharal and the Mitzvah point out that Kohen is Gematria 75. And as Rabbi Yeshua Hartman explained, the idea being that 75 is 7.5. It's the halfway point between the world of Teva and Lamana Minat Teva. He can join the two worlds, the world of physicality and the world of spirituality. The two opposing ideas, he can make them coexist. If you want, the Pasuk says in Hosea, we can just extend this idea one tad weiter, is the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Hosea about a Kohen who misuses his Kochus. It says, If he's Mechalel his Kedusha, then Yikach Leib. If you take the harp, Derech Melitza, if you take the harp out of the word Kohen, you're left with Chaf and Nun. Take away the Hey, the middle letter, you're left with Chaf and Nun, which is 70. He's been reduced to a world of Teva. If he wants to link the world, that world of Teva, to the Hey of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, he has to use that Kedusha, the Matana which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leave it to Aaron. He'll be able to do the impossible, and that's exactly what he did. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, when he changed the matter, it just changed into a Nachash, two opposing ideas which could not, Klal Yisrael, Paro could not possibly understand. When Aaron did it, it changed into a Tanin. The Tanin being one creature which held both of these opposites. The Tanin on the one hand being the Nachash, the symbol of Tumah, the symbol of Chet, but on the other hand, emerging from the water of Torah, the water of Tahara, the water of Teshuvah. And with that, Klal Yisrael could now comprehend through the darkness they could see the light. And it's a paradox, it is a paradox. You find the same thing that Sfas Emes says, when Klal Yisrael walked through the Yom Suf, they went B'Soch Hayom B'Yavosha. Says the Sfas Emes, they walked B'Yavosha on dry land, but in the waters. Not as we always learned that the water split and they walked No, they walked in the waters on dry land. It's a paradox. So to here, Aaron was able to do the impossible, to unite the two ideas and give this message over to Klal Yisrael. That, I believe, is the pshat over here. Let's just end with the Gemara, the last 5 minutes, the Gemara in Bava Basra. There's a whole string of cases where Bava Basra ramped up Ayin Gimel, where Rabbi Bar Bar Chana relates some wondrous and cryptic things he witnessed, and one of them, he says like this, he says he once saw a frog, a tzfardea, whatever the tzfardea is, a frog, a crocodile, and which was as big as Kiyakra da Hagrunya. And the Gemara says, how big is that? It's as big as 60 houses. And then he saw a tanin, this tanin came along and swallowed it up. And then the raven, right, an Oreva, a female raven, the Pushkansa came along and swallowed up the tanin. And then the raven went and sat on the tree, and the Gemara says, Tol Kazi Kamo Takif Hayiloni, come see how strong this tree is. And what's Pshat in this Gemara? So the Gaon says, perhaps just really backing up everything we've said. The Gaon says that it's Fardea, he brings a Zohar Kodesh, who says that it's Fardea is the Talmud Chacham, who croaks in Torah day and night. It's the voice of Torah. The Tanin is the Nochosh, is the symbol of the Yetzer Hara, which goes into the sea of Torah, into the waters of Torah, and tries to disrupt the code of Torah. How does it do it? It can't succeed. When Yaakov fought the Sar of Esau, says the Gaon, the Sar of Esau wanted to do exactly the same thing, but it couldn't stop the code of Torah. So what did it do? Says the Gaon, you know what it did? It touched the philanthropist. It came along and it created an economic crisis, so that the funds would be withdrawn from the yeshivas, from the schools, from the shuls, and so on and so forth. He thought through that, maybe he'd be able to overcome it. So too, says the Gaon, that's what the Tanin did. It tried to stop it. Let me ask you a question. When did this take place? When? When was that? It was just before Aleis HaShachar, which the Gaon says elsewhere is the darkest moment of the night. It's just before Aleis HaShachar. And that, I think it seems prophetic, but these are the times we're going through now. We're going through the darkest moments of Godus, the last 100 years. They tried to stop the code of Torah with a holocaust. It didn't work. The voice of Torah continued on and got even stronger. So what does the Yetzer Hara do? A last-ditch attempt. He sees Moshiach on the way. He sees Aleis HaShachar coming. Secret, exactly. Creates a credit crunch, an economic crisis, and suddenly he thinks, maybe, just maybe, I could do that. I could stop it. I could stop the Kol HaTorah. So what does the Gemara continue? That the raven came along and swallowed up the Tanin. What's the raven? We say every day in Tefillah, Lipnei Erev Ashiyekro'u. The Gemara says the raven is a very cruel creature to its young. Says the Gemara in Erevin, that sometimes you've got to be cruel. You've got to say to the kids, there's no supper tonight. Torah comes first. Now, I don't know how that would work nowadays, but leave the practical application for you. But the Gemara says, theoretically, that's the way it's got to go. That sometimes you have to be cruel. And the most interesting thing that struck me a couple of days ago is that the Tanin, the Gemara indicates in Kesubas, is also a very cruel creature to its young. So what did the Tanin think? Why did the Tanin think that it would overcome the voice of Yaakov by stopping the finances? So it'll just copy it. It'd also be cruel to its young. So you could say, because it knew that Bnei Yisrael Bnei Rachmanim aim, but you could say, based on what we've said, the answer is the Tanin again. The Tanin, on the one hand, is the Nochash. It's the Yet Torah, which tries to stop the Kol HaTorah. On the other hand, it provides us the answers. What are we supposed to do? The answer is take the message from the Tanin. The very Tanin, the very darkness which is trying to stop the Kol HaTorah, to stop the Tzfardea, the answer is there. Take a look at it. The answer is you've got to be cruel, which ultimately, as we'll see in a second, is actually having been talking in our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because the Gemara continues, don't worry, you're not really being cruel. Because if you, it's just an Isoyan. Because where will that raven go? It will go and sit on the tree. The tree is Eitz Chaim Hilam, Achtikim Bo, says our Kodesh Baruch Hu, I promise you, I guarantee you, there will never, ever be a lack of funds for Torah. It's just an Isoyan. He's coming along again with his ploys. He's trying to create an economic crisis, but for Torah there would always be money, says our Kodesh Baruch Hu. I guarantee you of it. As we said, we are going through the darkest moments of Godus. Reb Shimshon Pinkas said that there is no other explanation for the number of people which are returning to their Jewish roots. He says there's no other explanation other than an Eis Godi. It's an open miracle. The Kirov organizations, the word, it's Mamash and Eis Godi, he says. This is the light within the darkness. While there's a darkness, we're in the darkest moments of life. We're in the darkest moments. And what do we see? We see the Klal Yisrael sitting in the light, just like the Makom Choshech. which corresponds to Vayihi Ur, the Ur Adonis. While the rest of the world sits in the darkest, the most immoral times in the perhaps the whole of history, we are sitting in the light, we can see the light of Torah coming along. The number of people returning are coming back, they come back in their droves, and Be'ezus Hashem, we will return. Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zocher to the day very soon, to the final makor, which is the Makas Bechorit, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go out and tackle, wipe out Esau, wipe out Amalek, show the world B'nei Bechorit Yisrael, which will ultimately reveal the Kavon in the first Maimah, Bereishis Bor Elokim, B'shvil Reishis, that the world was created for Reishis to also, which is Klal Yisrael, and Taka Bereishis Bor Elokim, that there is a Borei Olam who runs the show, and Taka Eino Et Melevadeh.